Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome to...
Hey, no hands on the mic, man.
Brad hates it when I touch a mic. Sometimes I can't help it. You'd think after 5 years,
we'd have figured this out.
Yeah.
I think you just do it on purpose.
I sometimes do. I do do it on purpose. I like messing with Brad. Did I ever tell you I had that roommate where... I'm sure I've talked about this before. I had a roommate where I...
You used to touch your mic?
No, but I would put stuff... like on the edge of the table, oh, yeah. Like this, just barely hanging off, and it would drive him insane, and he would move it, and then I'd like take another sip of water and set it like this until eventually he would be like, Jonah, like, please stop. Like, this is seriously, like, I'm going to lose my mind.
But let me just say that Jonah's setting his glass on the edge of the table so that part of it kind of hangs over a little bit.
And it would be like, and it was so funny, and it would go on for so long. Like, it was almost subconscious on his part. And then eventually he was like, dude, I can't relax. And I was like, I'm sorry. It's just too funny to me. And guess what? Flash forward to me at 37. No roommates.
Nice job, buddy.
Yeah, so no big deal.
It took me about that long.
Yeah.
Just about.
I've had no roommates since about 35, which is like, sounds very late in life. But for New York, like, everyone just has roommates.
Dude, you can't help it. It's so fucking expensive.
So expensive.
I mean... like, yeah, if you don't have experience with New York, we can't even, the numbers, you wouldn't even believe. If I told you what it would take you to get in with a place of your own, whether a studio, if you're listening from fucking Ohio, you just would say that's a lie, but it's not a lie.
Yeah. I have a friend who just moved here, and he was like, I want to live my own. Like, I don't have a lot of money. Where should I go? And it's like, dude, I don't know about some secret neighborhood. Like, it just doesn't exist. Like, everything's... but, like, I feel like maybe, like, 20 years ago, you could figure something out. You guys are in a nice area over here.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, but this is, like, I don't even think you find something... I mean, I'm sure, you know, there's just nothing. Everyone's... it's too many people. But I feel like it's kind of the same way about LA. I like LA, but it's just too many people.
It's a lot of people.
Too many cars, too many people.
They're spread out a little bit more over there.
I want to go somewhere cool where it's just not... where it's just less crowded, but I can do whatever I want at any point.
See, the problem is, in order to get your people, enough of your people, you've got to put a whole bunch of people together because your people are like this little tiny percentage.
Right.
So you have to have a bazillion people because otherwise, like, here's a great example. I love Providence. It's a great town, right? I have some really good friends that live in Providence. It's real fun to go back and visit. I went to school there. And so I used to go back and visit a lot after I graduated, but like there was a lot of people that stayed because it's a great town, man. It's got like great clubs, great food. And it's so damn incestuous just because it's a small city. It's a very small city. So you've got like, you know, there's three people that like have your particular taste.
Well, dude, also like,
whereas here there's dozens and dozens.
Yeah. And but I feel like it's different also if you're single. Like I feel like, when I would try to date in Cleveland, like, it would be like...
are you doomed?
Like, that girl's cool. She's like, yeah, she slept with, like, your friend. Like, this guy, this guy, this guy, this other guy you're in a band with, this guy. Like, no. And you're like, oh, yeah. Like, I can't...
yeah, when I say Providence is incestuous, I was...
yeah.
I meant partly that.
It's
partly
that kind of stuff. It's just... but then I feel like I just hang out with the same people anyway, you know? Like...
but... the options. It's like, this is the funny thing about New York. Everybody comes here for all the options, and then they barely partake, but they just like to know they're out there.
Yeah, exactly.
We like to know that if we wanted to, we could go to a world-class museum.
Right.
A world-class Polynesian restaurant.
Right.
A world-class hooker.
Right.
You know.
But I'm going to get stoned and fall asleep watching like Grey's Anatomy or whatever. That I could do something I could literally do anywhere for like one-tenth of the cost. Yeah, but you know what I do like in doing is sitting at home and enjoying a cool Neshaminy Creek beer.
You do?
Yes.
It's should go get one this weekend.
This weekend. Oh my God. Sam I Am fans, rejoice. I think me and Brad are really going to do this, by the way.
If we don't, we're in big trouble.
We've been hyping these shows for a while. They're finally here. Legendary Berkeley band, Sam I Am. They'll be playing some shows in Jersey and Philly. This weekend, June 9th, they're playing in Garwood, New Jersey, Crossroads. Tickets available at Ticketfly.com. June 10th, this weekend, they're headlining. No, not opening, not playing during in the somewhere in the middle, not support, not main support. Sam I Am are headlining the Neshaminy Creek Brewery Company's five-year anniversary party with a free show June 10th in Croydon, Pennsylvania. Free show. Beer, Sam I Am.
It's incredulous.
Oh my God. It's, I'm trying to think of a Sam I Am beer pun and it's just coming up really
maybe,
short.
Maybe we'll go to the show this weekend and then you'll think of one.
Yes. Or we could just go see them in Europe in July. So stay posted on all that stuff on their Facebook page as well at Sam I Am Fancy. Also, while we're hyping stuff, shout out to Pulse Music.
Where this is recorded.
Where this episode was recorded. Not this intro that's at Brad's, but the actual podcast recorded. Pulse Music, engineered by a wonderful, wonderful person named Stephen Grywalski. Great dude. So check out Pulse if you're looking to record at a sick studio in Manhattan. And I don't know what to tell you about that. Today on the podcast, we have a guy named Matt Goldich.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Stephen worked with him together at Fuse. He has since moved on and become a writer for a show maybe you've heard of. It's called Late Night with Seth Meyers. Matt is also a very accomplished stand-up comedian, and he is the co-host of the podcast, Sorry I've Been So Busy. And I know we've been trying to get Matt in for a while. He's a super funny dude, very talented, great writer. So yeah, let's get into it right now with Matt Goldich.
It's going on!
I'm trying to think, because I listen to Goal Signs, and I don't...
No, it's varied throughout the host. Jonah is the A number one. And,
okay, come
and
on.
And then I've been home with the children's for a while, and
right.
Benny is
okay.
Our newest recruit. He's been nice. On probably way more than me now.
Okay.
And Brad has always been the one who makes it sound delicious.
I just used to come on a lot, and then I just started hanging out too much.
Nice. Yeah. I like it.
Then they used to give out free fucking shoes.
Yeah. We did used to give out free shoes.
About that. Yeah,
we got some shoes, and now there's no shoes.
No, I've been so
thinking about not coming anymore.
We've been trying to get Mr. Matt Goldich on for a while.
Are we on air now?
Oh, man, this is how we roll.
I'm excited to be here.
Steven's been talking about getting on for literally, I think, 5 years.
We're both very hard to pin down because we both have small children. So
True.
It's like, it's hard to figure out a time that works for both of us. And then, but I've been excited to come on because, so my podcast co-host, Andrew Goldstein.
Yes.
Was on your podcast probably a couple of years ago.
Yes.
It was a long time ago at this point.
There's shoes all over it.
Yeah, there were shoes at the time.
Brad, are you okay?
I totally got shafted. Yeah.
You
right? Somebody Jews.
No, he said Jews.
I thought you meant, okay, well, then I'm out of here. No. No. Yeah, well, I know. We're Andrew Goldstein and Matt Goldstein, two guys. It gets Jewier than that, which is we became friends when we were camp counselors together.
Oh, stop.
So,
Jewish camp?
Same Jew. What? Of course.
On,
I mean, as if
what
there is
NFL
any other
training
kind.
Camp.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, I was the only fucking Jewish kid at YMCA, okay?
Yeah, this was, we met when I was like 16, he was 17. He was the counselor, I was the junior counselor. Yeah, so we've been friends ever since, followed very similar career
paths.
Where
was this camp?
It was in the Poconos, yeah. And,
the Borscht Belt?
Is that
the Catskills?
Yeah. We actually shared a lake with the more Orthodox Jewish camp. Like the Orthodox, we were like the conservative Jewish camp. He was on your podcast, and Andrew and I have been best friends for 20 years. We have everything in common, all the same shared interests, with one huge exception, which is that he is a diehard wrestling fan, and I have absolutely zero interest and no knowledge of wrestling. I watched wrestling once. I went over to his apartment with a bunch of people and watched like a WrestleMania or something. I never got into it. And he used to write for the WWE, and he like is super into it and still follows it. It's one of those things. It's a weird thing where like you don't have the job anymore, but he still is like, he's like a wrestling pundit now.
Yeah.
So he always brings up wrestling references and things, and I hate it. I don't like it. It's the worst part of our friendship. But your podcast was the only time I've ever heard him talk about wrestling in a way that I found interesting.
Wow.
Like, he actually, I remember listening to it, and I complimented him afterwards. I was like, that was the first time I've ever heard you talk about wrestling where I actually didn't want to turn it off. Because normally, he'll be like, I was on this, like, huge I was on this massive wrestling podcast, you know, some, like, podcast that's, like, you know, huge in the wrestling world. And I listen, and after 30 seconds, and I'm like, listen, I want to support you, man, but this is so boring to me. I have to turn it off. Yeah. It's like listening to, like, a foreign language that has, you know.
I remember that one. I agree. We've only had two wrestling podcasts, him and Adam Vass, the bassist in La Dispute.
No, Pete from Less Than Jake he's a pretty big mark too. So
yeah, but he wasn't on the podcast.
But Goldstein, the way he described his love of wrestling, it made me appreciate it more. Are you into wrestling? You're sort of.
I used to be. Yeah. I used to be, and then when I was home with the kids and kind of got back into it, and they're around two, and then all of a sudden I noticed them putting each other in headlocks.
Yeah, that's apparently.
That'll happen.
Wife put the kibosh on that in the background. So I've gone through phases.
How old are your kids now?
They will be six.
Wow.
It's bonkers.
Yeah, and what's the usual sell on wrestling? It's that it's theater?
Yeah.
Because I know you're an actual sports fan. The thing that not bothers me about wrestling, but is my complete disinterest in wrestling is the fact that it's not real sport.
Right.
And I also have a good friend who's a diehard wrestling fan who can actually tell you the location and winner of any WrestleMania ever.
Right.
It's pretty impressive. That's Goldstein. Actually. And another Jew, Alex Levine. I don't know what's going on here.
I don't know. With Jews, it's like crazy. A wish fulfillment thing or something. Yeah.
But he always sells it as, oh, no, you got to see it as like the entertainment, the theater of it.
Have you seen it live?
That it's this. And then I went to see it live. He almost sold me on it for a second. And then I went to see it live, and I'm like, this is the biggest crock of shit I've ever seen.
Right. Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Which it was even way worse. It is.
Have you gone? Did you go with Andrew? Like, you ever try to go to like an indie match?
We went once. We never went to real wrestling. One time, we went to see sumo wrestling in Madison Square Garden. That was very disappointing.
Really?
Well, you would think it's going to be like 400-pound Japanese guys, and it's a lot of like 220-pound Polish guys.
Oh, like expats?
Like a lot of like whoever they could like find on the street or sort of like, you know.
Can't get the high quality sumo at the garden.
No, you cannot. And then both my brothers actually wrestled in high school, like the actual wrestling. And so I would go to their matches and also not have any idea what was going on, but at least it was not, didn't
seem. Did you try it? Like what did you?
No,
did
never. I'm the weakest weakling. I you know, I have two years of JV tennis was pretty much it for me. But that was anyway. I enjoyed him on your podcast.
See, I thought you guys met as NBC Pages.
We were later NBC Pages at the same time. We crossed over. Yeah.
What was that experience like?
Awesome. It was like an extended year of college. I think the program is way more professional now, from what I can tell from being in the building. But
was there a party element to the Pages?
There was a massive party element. Wow. It was like, well, because first of all, you're in New York. There's like 50 of you. You're all like pretty much a year or two out of college. Mm. And I think the program was also smaller at the time. And I mean, I would go out like four or five nights a week.
What year are we talking about?
This is 2001. I actually started in the Page program 2 weeks before 9/11, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And then they shut down the tours for a little while. And then they reopened them. They reopened the tours, and then like a day after they finally reopened the tours, they were like, New York is back. Someone sent anthrax to the office, and they were like, okay, we're shutting down the tours again. So that was kind of a weird time to start, but yeah. But it was, I mean, that may have also part of it why people were going out so much was it was a release. It was a stressful time, but all
bit of the end of the world party kind of thing going on.
Kind of thing, yeah. But it was really fun. What's that?
Was there Page sex?
Yes, for
Page
sure.
Page drugs?
Any on-site?
No comment. No, I. there may have been. There were definitely a lot of hookups within the program. It was a lot of hormones, and you're spending a lot of time together.
Yeah.
And you know, this was pre Tinder and pre, you know, really pre online dating.
Hey, you don't
the
have
only
to make
way
an excuse.
To meet people was in person.
Yeah. So. I have to reiterate, this is a safe place.
Okay. Good. Yeah. That's why there's six dudes here, and no women. Yeah.
Well, three. Yeah. Well, four out of the six of us are all married.
That's why we want to hear about sex.
Yeah. Please.
But yeah, so you know, how do you know Goldstein? Did you work with him somewhere?
I met him through, I met him through Joel.
Oh, through Joel, who we had worked with.
Our
yeah.
dear friend Joel Solomon.
Joel and I. Yeah. Has he been on?
No, Joel hasn't been on because he's out in LA. Yeah.
I saw Joel recently. He's working on an Adam Carolla thing, I think.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He was working on
Bill Simmons' show. And then Joel and I, we should say, we wrote for the Sauce on Fuse.
Yes.
That you co-hosted for, and I worked there for a year. And during that time, me and Joel were the only two writers, and we wrote an
hour.
So
did Steven tell your jokes?
Steven told my jokes. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Awesome.
And he was, I mean, if you could call them jokes. But it was the greatest training ever for a writer because there were two of us, mm-hmm. two writers, and we were writing an hour show every day.
Every day.
Wow. And there was no oversight. Like, it was like anything you put in the script would get on air. There was like no, there was no, no one like putting the kibosh on anything.
We did a lot of weird stuff.
Me and Matt, I don't know if you remember this, but remember when that girl Julia Allison came on?
Maybe.
She was like a real big, like, do you remember her? She was on the cover of Wired. She had this big internet presence.
Right, yes.
And we did something where like we had to hit on her with these like...
Yes.
And like we each had to do like these really cheesy lines and she had to like pick the one and she was basically like, yeah, I don't like any of these.
That's right. I forgot about that. She was the girl, discovered My Chemical Romance or something. Was that her?
I think you're thinking Sarah Lewis.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of different... So, I know nothing about the world of music, but my knowledge of bands from 2007 is really pretty strong because, I can sing like multiple Used songs and things like that because of my year at Fuse. But I remember that was, did you ever work on The Sauce or?
No, only Steven.
You were in
show.
The building. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember for The Sauce, we did, Matt and I are actually in a music video together.
Thanksgiving It To You? Or?
No. Christmas Fist.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not in that
Christmas
one.
Yes, you are.
Fist?
I am?
Yeah.
Fist.
Oh, Fist. Yeah, there's, it's me.
Oh, Thanksgiving It To You is Jared.
That's Jared.
That's your band name. Christmas Fist.
This was like in the day, you know, we had the right idea, which was like, you know, we were the early sort of adopters of, hey, we should try to go viral. We should try to make these like musical parody video. You know, they were pretty good. They're pretty high quality.
They were high quality.
You guys
but
were
like
the pre Lonely Island.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But better.
Trailblazers.
I remember I'm in Christmas Faced.
You're in Christmas Faced. There was a line where it's like, it's me rapping, so there's that.
You rap.
Oh,
it's amazing.
I rapped.
Wow.
And they shot it in HD, but it was before YouTube could handle HD, so it's all pixelated. But there's this line, something I can't remember, where it's like, it'll be Chinese and noodles with all my Jews, and the camera pans, and it's you and Joel just standing there with Chinese food.
Is that still on YouTube?
It's still
I
there.
I gotta find that. That's
Brad, how pro can you be? Can you actually cut the podcast here and play a little clip of this? Is this possible?
I'm sure.
I'm putting Brad, you like how you guys like how I'm putting Brad on the spot?
Yeah. Someone listened to the podcast recently was like, Jonah, you know all the time you're like, someone's like, hey, can you edit this out? And you're like, yeah, we'll edit it out. And it's like, it's just...
I don't even listen to it.
Yeah. Has anyone mentioned before that Brad has a real Thomas Hayden Church vibe?
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Oh my God. You're
Benny's
totally
been looking. Benny's
I've been calling Dreyfus. I've been calling Dreyfus. Yeah.
No, you look like, I don't know if you've watched any of Divorce.
But some like miniature
HBO,
version.
But you look, he even has the mustache like
you. A really small version of like Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah. So.
Why, that guy's huge.
We're going wine tasting after this.
Absolutely. That's a movie where you're like, I like, my wife and I went to see that movie, like, it was like a date thing, and then I'm like, afterwards, like, that was a bad choice. It's a date movie.
Sideways? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess if you're trying to, yeah.
But it ends okay.
When I was on Warped Tour,
when I wanted to mess with kids, and I was so bored, I used to do the booth for Alternative Press, and we did the programs, and we'd have like a signing with like Fall Out Boy, and I'd go down the line, and I'd ask like 14-year-old kids, I was like, "What'd you think of Sideways?" I don't know why. I always thought it was funny, and they're always like, "What?"
Yeah,
like just to amuse myself.
I had that problem. I mean, like when I was writing on that show for when I was writing on The Sauce, I mean, I was 26. I was not like an old man, but my references were old man references.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I had no concept of like what music like teenagers were into. I would get excited, like occasionally be like, "Oh, hey, Silverchair is coming on!" Like they were popular when I was growing up. I was like, you know, like, or like
a good group. Good
I remember
group.
Squeeze came on the show. That
Squeeze
was a big,
did
yeah,
come on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, or just like stuff like that.
I wasn't there for that one.
I actually like them. I know this band.
Squeeze is great. Yeah.
Speaking of Brad looking like Thomas Hayden Church and Sideways, the most insulting "you look like" I ever got was someone was like, "You look like that guy."
Oh no.
Paul Giamatti.
You got a Giamatti?
I got a Giamatti at a That's diner rough. Like I'm eating, I'm yeah. enjoying my meal.
Someone walked up to you
no
at
I was
a diner?
Sitting with someone brought this girl who just out of nowhere was like, "You look kind of look like," I was like, "Oh, the guy that plays a schlubby loser in every movie."
Yeah. She'd be like, "You look like Tom Hanks, sweetheart." All right.
I've been with Jonah when he got Malcolm Gladwell.
I got Malcolm Gladwell.
That,
when I had
that's
after.
Better.
That at least
better.
Is, I can
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, do you get
you
Moby?
Don't look
ever?
Anything like.
You've never
no,
got a Moby.
I don't get anything
Allow
anymore.
Me to be your first Moby.
I get Sam Elliott when I'm my mustache.
Why?
Matt, could you talk a little bit about your current gig?
Yeah. Sure. I work at Late Night with Seth Meyers. I've been there for almost 3 years now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Maybe you listeners have heard of it.
Yeah.
Maybe you've seen Matt on the TV.
I've never seen it actually live on TV because, like I said, I have a 2-year-old, so I'm always asleep at 12.
Yeah.
Actually, this is how sad my life is. So on New Year's Eve, we aired a new show at 10 p.m., on New Year's, like before, you know, the NBC New Year's special.
You didn't make it?
No, it was the first time I'd ever seen our show live on television. Was I was home at 10 p.m. on New Year's Eve. And I was like, let's throw on the show. Let's watch it, I guess. I have, because I've never been up at, even times when I've been on air on the show, I'll be like, nope, see it on YouTube the next day.
And it's a strong Sauce crew who works on that show. You got Steve Bautista as the stage
manager.
Oh,
that's right.
You got
yeah.
Alex, who
wait
was
wait a minute.
The,
okay, I didn't know Steve worked on the Sauce.
Yeah.
I remember Alex. Alex was the AD.
He was the AD,
our director. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did not know that Steve worked on it.
Steve
that's
was
crazy.
There too.
Yes,
yeah.
I know Steve has worked with Andrew on things. That's so yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah, Steve yeah. worked with Andrew at Morning Buzz VH1. Yeah. That show.
I saw that you do mostly the monologue writing as
I
opposed
do,
to sketch writing.
I well yeah monologue focused, but I write other stuff as well. Yeah, everybody sort of does all team monologue all write do other stuff as well. So, yeah,
what's the like beginning of the day like what's the creation process for how, you know, from idea to
right
to video,
well,
we like how's
someone,
that happen?
Like, will email us like a list of sort of one line kind of summaries of news stories, and then I'll, you know, we just sort of like, I mean, we tweak those or add those or come up with our own, but then generally it's like writing a punchline based off of that. So and submitting several rounds of that throughout the day, and you know, on a good day, getting a couple on, it's like, you know, it's a lot of, it's a writing a lot of material for, you know, and then selecting a very few.
So you throw a lot of material at a.
I do. Yeah. 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 But it's, you know, it's fun though. I enjoy it.
And how many people are doing what you're doing?
About 5 or 6, but there's like 14 writers in total. So,
wow.
How conscious are you? I know this is sort of a big thing on SNL, like with Weekend Up, like Update, they don't want to copy it, like have the same jokes as like any other late night shows.
Yeah. I mean,
and there's so many of them now. How conscious are you of like what everyone else is doing, or do you kind of just have to?
It's one of those weird things where now, because of like Twitter and everybody making every joke already, you sort
right.
of have to, unless you actually saw that. I mean, I can't speak for other people. Unless I actually saw that, like, and I rarely watch the other monologues, but I just because I don't want them in my head. But I mean, if I see on Twitter somebody made the exact same joke, I will, you know. But if it's like a similar thing, you know, you can't stay away from similar areas because there's just only so many areas.
Right,
know?
Right.
But I do, you know, I'm not super conscious of it, but it's in the back of my mind. Put it that way. But I can't speak for anybody else. Yeah.
How do you like? I've met Seth Meyers a bunch of times. It's not really a big deal.
NBD.
But how do you like working with him? Because he seems like a very nice guy.
Yeah, I've always like I made this joke. I apologize on another podcast, but like I've always said, like there's no like if I even if they were like, hey, don't talk about the show on a podcast, I'd be like, are you worried that I'm going to say that like it's really fun and everyone here is really nice? Like, because that's the truth. Like, there is no dirt that I could possibly provide. It's literally just the best job I've ever had and really fun to go into work every day, and everybody there is great and nice and cool. Yeah.
So that means Seth Meyers has the most dirt.
That is the most boring answer. I apologize. Maybe I'm the dick in the office and I have no idea.
Wow.
It's impossible that I'm the one.
My wife knows the people who work there too, yeah, as well, and in the talent booking, yeah, world, and it's co-sign, like the same thing. Yeah. Like it's commonly known, like it's just, yeah, a super cool, fun place to work, and it's awesome to hear.
Yeah.
And is he the, like, how hands-on is he with like the final say of content?
Very. I mean, he's a writer,
so he's all over that stuff.
Mm-hmm. But in a, like, you know, in a good way.
What's like the filtration process like before it gets to him? Like, how many producers' hands does it go through before it gets?
Well, there's
to, like,
a head
sets.
Writer, there's producers, there's a series of people, but it's like, it's definitely, you know, it's a good collaborative process. I like it because, like, there's a lot of like working by myself, but then also a lot of collaborating with other people, yeah, which is cool.
Where'd the conservative character come from for you?
Oh, yeah, so I played this conservative perspective.
It's really also funny.
I will say, so it was funny before the election, and then it got, oh, and then if we had tried to bring it back, I think it would have been a little sad. Yeah, I basically was like, I was just thinking how funny it would be if I, you know, because I think that most of what we do on the show comes from a certain perspective, and so I definitely had this idea of like, wouldn't it be funny if I came on? And I mean, in any other time, it would not be unreasonable for someone to come on and say like, hey, let me present an opposite opinion to, you know, what I consider to be an unbalanced, you know, thing. Mm. Now it's like crazy. It's like crazy, time that we live in, where I think that, you know, the idea of someone being conservative has a lot of, but it was really fun to do. I had a few of them, and then, you know, I had different, we would bring in, you know, the second one we brought in the, somebody to be the progressive perspective, who was to the left of Seth, and then we added the idiot's perspective. That actually was a great one. I'm kind of glad it was the last one, because it was, you know, and then we tried to, you know, do more, but it never quite worked. But I was happy with how it ended.
Yeah. Way back when you've known Goldstein forever, did you guys bond over stand-up? Did you know then that was
definitely
something you wanted
comedy
to do?
We both loved SNL. We always loved comedy. He doesn't do as much stand-up anymore. He'll occasionally dabble in it, but we both did. In fact, I just drove by the other day. I hadn't told him yet, but the Gin Mill, which was the first bar when we first moved to New York, we used to run a comedy show there called Comedy Gold, because both of our last names were Goldich Goldstein, and we both did stand up, and like I remember, like John Murray was on that show, mm-hmm, like other people, you know, but it was that was definitely one of the earliest thing we, and then he mostly gravitated towards like sketch and writing and producing, and then I sort of kept doing stand up more, and but he always like he's always performing, he does like like on shows where he's a producer, like he'll come on air and like do bits, oh, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. This was the other thing I wanted to tell you before I forget. So I had no idea that Holly, who you co-hosted the sauce with, is married to Rob Hubel.
Rob
now.
Hubel, yeah.
And I didn't know that. And then I saw him at the show, and I was like, I had no idea you were married to Holly, because they had a baby. And
yeah,
it was like, I, you know, there were like pictures. Joel was the one that told me, actually.
Joel did. It was a different producer that we worked with on the sauce, Jenny Klein.
Yeah.
Who, because she's the weather person at some TV station.
Yeah, she was
in
also
Monica.
In, she's been in a couple movies as she was in Nightcrawler as like a newscaster.
Really?
Jake Gyllenhaal movie. Yeah.
I saw that.
I recognize her.
That.
I think that's her. Yeah. I've seen her in a couple things. Yeah.
I want to know what happened to Marianella.
That's before my time.
She's still out doing stuff. So you came in when it was Holly and then Jared.
It was you and Holly, and then Jared joined on before he became a hit songwriter, hit maker.
which is good heavens, still.
Jared Cotter, check him out.
And sure. And yeah, but it was like a great team, and it was also a lot of people I ended up working with later. I worked with Jenny later in LA.
It's a weird 6 degrees of Rob Hubel, because one of the other hosts on Fuse, Allison Becker, dated Rob for a long time.
Yeah.
So when someone first told me that,
he
it was
only
like,
dates people who were Fuse hosts.
It's even weird. Him dated actually too.
It was really it was really brief, but I just wanted to meet Key and Peele.
that was Fuse was a really fun place to work
At that time. Yeah, it was fun.
I always like had a blast going into work. Plus, you're really close to Gyro too, which is a good gyro place by Madison Square Garden.
What was your go-to there? Shawarma,
big
or?
Plate of. Whatever. Yeah, shawarma. Yeah. I think I was, at the time, I'm trying to recall, so I'm going on now, this is so boring, but I'm 11 years gluten-free, believe it or not. OG, old school.
Wait, we can't. Wow. Is this like a celiac situation?
You're for
it's
real,
not
right?
celiac. I like to say I'm somewhere between celiac and faking it. So I generally a big plate of meat is sort of like where I go to.
Gotcha.
You know, as opposed to like
no
a
gluten
sandwich.
There.
Yeah, yeah. But
what exactly is a gluten?
Good question. I still don't know. It's the kind of thing where, like, if I was not gluten-free, I would hate it. I would make fun of it. I would not want to know about it. I've literally not been interested in learning anything about it other than I have bad stomach problems my whole life. At the suggestion of my mom, I had tried everything. I was really sick for like a whole year. My mom was like, "Why don't you try giving up gluten?" So I just like looked up like what has gluten in it. I stopped eating those things, and within like a week, my stomach problems got much better. And
holy
so I was like,
crap.
"That's it, I'm done." And I haven't tried it since. It's possible that like it's psychosomatic, but it's possible that it's made up. But I felt like pretty fine for the last 11 years, and I'm just like, I'm not.
Roll
especially
it.
Now that it's like so easy. You,
yeah,
like, literally
right.
Every single restaurant you go into.
Taco Bell, our favorite top
options
point.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, really? Taco Bell?
I don't know. I just threw that out there. Jonah, can you confirm or deny?
I can deny that.
Okay, it definitely.
We're apparently being sponsored by Taco Bell
it's
this
definitely
week.
Not.
So. We're trying to get sponsored.
I mean, right?
We'll take it.
How sensitive are you? Because I dated someone with celiac disease. I got misdiagnosed with celiac disease.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't know what it was either.
So I don't have celiac. So it's like that's the good thing. It's like if I accidentally
because like soy have sauce a bite, or something,
right? Well, soy sauce has so little in it that like they do make gluten free soy sauce.
Right.
I prefer to eat it, but if I eat accidentally something with a little bit of soy sauce, like I'll give you an example. So there's this butcher near us that we love that we go to all the time, and they make this chili that's really good. And I used to eat their chili like all the time, and then one day I looked at the ingredients, and I saw it had beer in it. And it didn't say what kind of beer, but I'm assuming it's not gluten-free beer because most beer is not. And so I was like, well, I'm going to stop eating the chili now that I know it has beer in it. But also, like, it's not like I ate it and, like celiac people have to, like, you know, they're serious other, like, they have to be super sensitive. But even,
right.
like, stuff cooked on the same grill, which is, like, if I had to do that, like, that would be.
So it's not like when a junkie relapses, it's, like, way worse the first time back?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not. Thank God. Yeah. I am also allergic to heroin, though, which is,
Well, that's
good. How did you find out?
My mom was just like, why don't you give
is
up
this
heroin?
The page
and, then, like, immediately, I just felt so much better.
Now I think we got to focus more on your time as a page.
Right.
I'm sorry if this is really boring for you, but
no.
So working, you know, crazy hours, I'm sure, et cetera. I mean, how do you deal with kind of eating at work? Do you just
my
bring
hours
your
are
lunch?
Not too bad.
Really?
Well, here's the interesting thing. So I eat because I'm up at like, I would say 6:30 every day because I have a 2-year-old. We're big breakfast people at
all. What is it with 6:30? Every day for me too. Fucking 6:30.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
I have one.
Yeah, how old?
And another one coming.
Yeah,
hey.
Coming. I got a 16-monther.
That's
right
the time.
Now.
Yeah. Oh, you're gonna have two under two.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a ballsy move.
Good for you.
I figure I'm looking at it like it's like a 401k now.
Yeah.
I'm just like paying in all in one shot.
You know? My favorite phrase when you find out someone is having a kid, someone I can't remember who said it to me, but it was an older person who went, "Oh, I got some lead in that pencil."
There you go. Yeah.
I said this joke to somebody today. And it's funny, and it's actually a point of pride for me that I never had to quit weed or coffee to do this.
Yeah.
And a lot of people
there
do.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
Okay, that's good.
My favorite is the people who they have the one and then they go, well, we'll have one more. And then they have twins. Have you ever had?
I did that backwards. So
yeah.
We had twins who went, yeah, we're going to stop.
Tie up, Stephen?
No.
Are you willing to speak about this?
No, we've talked about it. No, my wife has, she had severe endometriosis.
Oh, right.
So we had to, my children are GMOs. They were made in a lab. Mm. So, and it was a full on process.
You guys could always pull a,
huh?
Are they organic?
Completely organic.
Are they gluten free?
7%. Your kids? Am I going to get sick if I eat your kids?
If you eat my kids? Shit, that's a good question.
It's not vegetarian.
Come on, you got two.
Yeah, no, they're not vegetarian though, because I wouldn't. They can choose later when they want to get older.
So to answer your question,
yes.
Sorry, I want to get back to this because this does get semi interesting. I eat a lot of big breakfast, and then I have a feeling that some of my coworkers do not eat breakfast because our day is such that around like 12:31 things do get a little busy. There's like a deadline coming up, and so a lot of my coworkers will go get lunch at around like 11:30, which is like a super early time to get lunch. And I usually hang out as long as possible, but because I've eaten breakfast, so I don't think I'm quite as hungry as them. But around like 12:05, 12:10. You've been smelling food for so long that you can't not eat. So luckily the cafeteria, which is fine, it's like not great, but it's like perfectly fine. And it's like one floor above us. It's so easy to get to. Plus we get a discount. So it's like I go there pretty much every day.
What are we talking? They got like a pasta station?
They have
or
all
a
kinds
sandwich?
Of stations. I try to go to the salad bar as much as possible, because not only because it's healthy, but also because it's one of the few. I usually get salad and some kind of meat or something like that.
And this is a nice building. I got to assume you have more than like an iceberg option up there.
Oh, yeah. That is why the salad bar is good, is they have a lot of good lettuce options. But so I have a coworker who I'm going to shout him out. His name's Ian. And I sit next to him every day. And he's a young fellow. He's in his mid-20s. And he eats like it. He eats like he has a girlfriend, but he eats like a single guy in his mid-20s. Like one day, a while ago, he finds things at the cafeteria that I'm just not aware exists. Like I have two or three like stations that I go to. He comes back, I swear to God, from the cafeteria, and this is like lunch on a work day with two corn dogs. And I'm just like, were you at a fair? Like, what did you just? So, like, he puts away things in the middle of the day where, like, if I did that, like, I would be out. Like, I could not continue working. So, I swear to God, we were on hiatus last week. We were off for the week. And I had to post a picture on Instagram because the first day back, 11:15, in the morning, he breaks out that he brought from home a paper bowl of Chef Boyardee ravioli at 11:15 a.m. And I was like, why are you eating ravioli?
And what's the explanation?
He's like, I'm hungry. What are you
behind not just keeping it in the can to bring it to work?
I know. He kept it in the can. No, he heated it up in a microwave.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
So that was Monday. Today, Wednesday, around 11:25, he made an extra 10 minutes Chef Boyardee SpaghettiOs with meatballs that he then poured Goldfish crackers on top of.
A little
for
crunch.
A crunchy element.
Sure.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
Have you tried Chef Boyardee as an adult?
No.
Yes.
It's fucking. It tastes like ketchup.
Yeah,
it's
all,
so sweet.
I feel like it would have like salt. Sugar in it too, or something.
It's all salt, dude.
It's so sweet.
The ingredients in there are not.
He's not a real chef, probably.
No, probably not.
And every can of Chef Boyardee is like 14 years old. Like that actually got prepared in the 90s and canned.
I will say, like Instagram. You know, obviously, if you post like pictures of your kids, you tend to get a lot of likes. Never have I gotten as many comments as when I posted the pictures of Ian eating ravioli and SpaghettiOs with meatballs. Like,
why are you so offended by it, though? I mean, you don't have to eat it, right?
I'm not offended. I'm just grossed out. It's super early. It's not. We make money, you know. Like, you don't have to eat SpaghettiOs, and like, also, like, you like. It's weird to me. This is, I think, the fascinating part, to have the foresight and the planning to bring your lunch to work and to choose to bring that. You know what I mean? Like, usually people who bring their lunch to work are pretty, like, I'm not diligent or, were organized enough to
hence
bring my lunch to work.
Sure.
You know? And he is. He brought SpaghettiOs. It's just such a strange thing.
You could be organized enough to bring your lunch to work if you all you had to do is grab a can of SpaghettiOs.
Do you think he got this easy?
Do you think he got the SpaghettiOs and was like, this is good, but what can I do to bring this over the top?
I know, right?
Oh, goldfish. Yeah. Grab these.
Do you think he's doing it for you? Well, do you think he's like, I'm going to, at this point,
the question is, what the fuck is he going to eat when he comes home drunk off his ass?
I know, salad. Yeah, right? Yeah. Mixed greens with balsamic.
Hormel chili.
Yeah. The meatballs in the can is really where it's like.
Yeah, Vienna sausages are rough. What's the worst canned meat?
Spam
burger is pretty dope, though.
All
honestly,
canned meat.
Yeah, that doesn't seem. Yeah. That seems like that should definitely need to be refrigerated.
Have you had a spam burger?
No.
Like a proper grilled spam burger?
I don't
think
so.
Is that right?
And I've become a pretty adventurous eater in some. In some ways, I've become more adventurous since I went gluten free. Like because I've had to be less selective about other stuff. Like I used to be really weirded out by like sausage and like. Certain like types of meat that now like I'll eat them because if I can, that's who knows when the next time I'll get another meal is.
That's
so
true.
How about booze and gluten? Like I'm not a big drinker, but like
I can drink any liquor, any wine, and then gluten-free beer.
Gluten-free
beer. So you don't, because I remember some people are like, you can only drink like potato vodka or distilled.
Yeah, that is, I don't know what the... Like, I've heard mixed things on that. I think it's like...
When I got misdiagnosed, this was the first thing I researched.
I drink pretty much all liquor.
Okay.
I mean, I mostly drink bourbon or whiskey, but
Are there any gluten-free beers you like?
There are a bunch, actually. Yeah. And one of the really lucky things is I live near this supermarket, this random supermarket in my neighborhood.
And you live in Harlem, right?
I live in Harlem that has... You just got to do his research. that has a whole floor devoted to beer on the top floor. It's called Best Market. And within that floor... It's like, you know, all these craft beers. But then that floor, they have a whole shelf that's all like 15, 20 different kinds of gluten-free beer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I always get different kinds. I always get this one called Glutenberg, but they have like four different kinds of gluten. The only reason I get it is because it comes in cans and it's easier to carry home.
Sure.
It's not like, it's like, why would I purposely choose to carry bottles home when I can choose cans?
How do you feel about ciders?
Cider, good question. This is true. I like a dry cider. I do not like a sweet cider.
It's a headache, right?
Sweet. Pretty sweetened, a lot of sugar, added sugar, but a good dry cider is nice. Yeah.
Matt, I got a theory to run by you.
Okay.
So I saw, I don't know where it was posted, maybe a Twitter or something like that. They said you're a sports fan for some reason.
Yes.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
About Jews and sports.
Okay.
And I know it's my personal experience. I'm a big sports fan as well, and I've always been involved in things that I wasn't supposed to be into sports.
Right.
Alternative people, music, where I was actually shunned for liking sports a lot of times. But I'm very into the statistical element
of
sports.
Yeah.
Which actually leads to my theory. Now, I know a lot of Jews. Mm-hmm. I was raised by them. Because I'm a Jew. And
thanks.
I find that the over-analytical nature of Jews, the idea that, like, you know, what do they say when there's four Jews in a room, there's six opinions or something like that.
Right.
And that's the old joke and how
it's
you can take
in.
Every situation and manipulate it in your head where everything has gray area, right? Like, it's very hard to... not over intellectualize and make things tricky.
Right.
It's just the natural element of it. And sports, to me, especially statistics, is a safe place.
Right.
It's like black and white, winners and losers.
Yeah.
Kind of this clear mathematical thing that goes on. And it actually, after all these years, I do think I find like comfort in that.
Oh, for sure.
Does this theory hold water?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, yes, for sure, comfort in sports. Here are the reasons that it's a way to make conversation with any or many males, including some who I don't necessarily have a lot in common
for
with.
Sure.
Like if I go to a function where like my wife's friend's boyfriend is like some like kind of like, you know, whatever you know, we can talk about sports, even if I don't necessarily, like, you know, have anything else in common.
You could say dumb jock.
I do find it comforting. It is my go-to, like, on TV when I get home and I just want to not think or veg out. I do, like, when I was, when my, right after my kid was born, I was, like, in charge, like, the way the schedule worked out was, like, at this one bottle feeding at, like, 3 or 4 in the morning, I was in charge of. I would let my wife sleep through that one. And
I had that, too.
And, you know,
I did all of them.
I tried. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
With twins.
They were, because of the lab thing, you could actually breastfeed them, right?
Completely.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But, but I tried, like, the first, like, 2 nights of that to, like, be like, oh, I'm going to get caught up on, like, my show, you know? And, and then you realize, like, by the time, like, you're trying to feed a kid and burp and, like, you know, you're like, no, it's not going to happen. So I'd be like, SportsCenter, that's the only thing that I can have on in the background where I'm, like, you know, doesn't require my full attention. There's definitely some of that. And then as far as the, like, Jewish nerdy, there's definitely, like, a nerdy element to, like, following it, which is what I was always, like, memorizing, knowing about it, the trivia. I mean, like, people don't realize that. They think sports people are, like, you know, dumb jocks or whatever. And there's it's like anything else.
Even Noah Chomsky said that. He said that a lot of people like to call Americans stupid. And he said to listen to sports talk radio for a day and to listen to the amount of retention that these people have. It's just what they choose to use it on.
Yeah. No, yeah. And the reason I put that in my Twitter bio, like, sports fan for some dumb reason, is because I am apologetic about it in some ways. Like, I don't, you know, and it's more also a way of letting people know, like, it's funny. I used to tweet a lot more about sports, and then now with the way the world is going, I tend to be more about politics sometimes or self promotion. But it is funny that, like, I put that in there because, like, you know, I didn't want people to be like, hey, this guy's funny, like, I like his jokes, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm, like, tweeting about some random, like, Rams-Bengals game, like, something, and they're like, why did I follow this person? You
know. Was that a bone of contention growing up with your best friend being a fan of sports entertainment?
Oh,
he's a sports guy,
no,
too,
wrestling
though.
Is not a sport. Absolutely not. But, yeah, no, Goldstein's a big – and we're both from Philly, so we're both fans of all the Philly sports teams.
But where in Philly from?
I grew up in a town called Lafayette Hill.
Okay.
Your wife's from Philly, right?
She's from Feasterville.
Okay.
Because I was saying when she and – I was telling Benny the story. When she and Goldstein first met, we were it was at Joel's wedding, and they had, like, a Philly off for a good 3 hours to see who could – oh, yeah. They're like, hey, hon, down, get a hoagie.
Yeah.
and the whole thing. And I was sitting there, I was like, well, I don't know what language you're speaking.
Scrapple.
But the word scrapple, Jesus Christ. But the word is water.
Yeah, not water. Yeah. I'm one of those fakers where, like, I don't really have a Philly accent, but then if I go back home, it sort of comes back.
Really?
Where I'm like,
but Steven, you sort of have this, like, perfect, random, non-regional diction going on. Like, we can't all have that, you know?
It's the transatlantic accent. I was born with it.
I have a sports question for you guys. I was listening to a podcast today. Bill Burr and Jim Norton was on, and they were talking about sports. And Bill Burr was saying he doesn't like watching SportsCenter anymore because he thinks they talk about so much, like, gossip and stuff not related. He's like, I just want to hear about the game.
No,
he won't watch. Is that true?
That's true. It's never watch SportsCenter. The only time I watch it is at the gym or, like, with the sound off or, like I said, like, in the middle of the night when I can't handle anything
else. Because growing up, I would watch it, and it was just kind of highlights.
Yeah. Now, if you want to watch that, even ESPN News, though, sometimes doesn't even have the highlights. But it's like...
Is that just... I mean, because literally back in the day, I mean, you would... Once you turned off the TV or if a game wasn't even on or something, you didn't even know who won until the following morning when you could either... wait for it on SportsCenter or get the newspaper
today,
or something.
They don't know what it's like to search Twitter.
I mean, in a way, like, well, as far as, like, highlights and stuff go, the highlights are happening as they happen on Twitter
That's
and on your phone
crazy
and
to
stuff.
Me that, like, they still air the Olympics on tape delay and stuff like that, where it's like they're, like, holding on to this world from, like, 1998.
I mean, ESPN's gonna die soon.
You think?
I mean, like, they've had this scam with cable providers for years where you were forced to pay for ESPN.
Well, the reason they're
not
is because of the live events and the actual games themselves. It's filling up the rest of the hours that is the challenge, but the live events themselves are so valuable now because they're the one thing you can't watch. Like, big games and award shows are the only things that you can't. It's not like you can be like, well, I'll keep it on the DVR. I'll get caught up later. It's like, that's if you miss it, there's no point in watching it because, and that's why they're so, you know. And I do think, like, it's interesting, like, sports in some ways, the NFL is like, it seems to be going down a little bit in ratings, but some of these, like, bigger events, like, people who aren't even necessarily sports fans are, like, sort of gravitating. Because I think they're like people are looking for like a shared experience almost, but like we have no connection with like other people anymore. But like knowing that all these people around the world are watching this, like, you know, and this last year has been crazy with like, you know, the Super Bowl obviously was like a crazy comeback. The Oscars had this crazy ending. the Cubs were down 3-1 and they won the World Series. The Cavaliers were down 3-1 and they won the NBA. Villanova won the last year the championship on a buzzer beater.
Dude, that's like my wife's whole family, the Villanova thing, and I can't.
Yeah. What do you think? Is this, are we talking fixing?
Well, I don't know. Either that or, I mean, like, someone had the article that, like, I mean, if you want to throw Trump in there, I guess, but someone, did you see that article that said we're living in a computer simulation? Like, the Oscars, and, like, the ending of the Oscars proves that we're living in a computer simulation.
I did not see that.
No, but I've read a lot about simulation theory, so I'm curious, what was the argument about the Oscars?
Basically saying that, like, you know, someone is just fucking with the controls, you know, from the, you know, that, like, that none of this stuff would be, this stuff is all, it has to be fake.
A lot of blue
Everything
pill.
That's happening. Yeah, exactly.
The blue pill.
Yeah.
Well, the multiverse theory, I mean, that's kind of.
you know, you by what you just said, where you're completely bullshitting, you know more about it than me. So.
Multiverse, no. I think, is essentially like everything. Like, this is happening in multiple universes in different ways. Like, any possibility of anything happening is, like, happening in, like, an alternate version of the universe.
Simultaneously, but on a different frequency. At least that's how they said it in comics years ago.
I hope I have a six-pack of abs somewhere.
Yeah.
They're just, like, this great body in one of them.
You do. Well, the sports thing with you guys impresses me because I have a number of friends who, like, Danny Gould has this joke where it's, like, everybody's got their football. You know, like, I love comics and things and TV, but I don't watch sports. But, like, you know, you know, you're a comedian, you know a whole lot about comedy, and then you got this sports thing, which it cracks me up. My wife has her, and to turn off her brain, she'll watch television programming for old people, like NCIS, anything with Chicago in it, you know?
Yeah.
Old CSI. That's awesome. And, like, and it.
Those Chicago ones are impressive. I mean, they tie them all in together. Pretty cool.
I love that's.
That's her brain turn-off thing. Because at least it's not like. Like botched or Bravo or something like that for me to stay sane.
My wife,
you know?
Just Netflixed the entirety of House, then the entirety of Grey's Anatomy back to back.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I don't even know. And both of them have literally like 47 seasons. Yeah. I don't know how she did it.
My new go-to, it's this guy's, this is on Netflix. What's it? Border Patrol? I think I've talked about it on here before.
Yes, you have.
It's just a reality show about the TSA. People going through, there's Canada, Australia, US, people going through customs, them getting packages, looking for drugs. And I just came in on an international flight and I kind of wanted them to, like, I was like, are they going to like test me? Do I get to? And they were like, yeah, go. Yeah.
Heard they can look at our phones now.
In Canada, they definitely can. And I read an article about a guy who was like, they were like, give us your passcode. And he was like, no. And he like went to jail.
Yeah,
like,
they just kept
Yeah, they
them,
can
right?
go through your phone. Yeah.
You have to give them the code.
Yeah, they go through all your text messages. Yeah.
It's been happening increasingly. There was more instances of this in February than there was in the year previous.
And it's amazing.
So check your phone, buy the watch.
People will
and
be
you can
coming in. They'll
the
be
phone.
Like, we think you're coming to Canada to work. And they're like, no, we're not. And then they'll be like, well, here's this email where it says, I'm coming to work. And then, yeah.
Let me just get this straight. If I'm a U.S. citizen returning from Montreal for the weekend, they can go through my phone?
I don't know. Benny says yes. I know that if you're trying to enter Canada, they can definitely do it. I don't know about the U.S., but it wouldn't surprise me.
I just read an article about it, yeah.
So it must be true.
Mm. Wow. That's true. Could
it was
be.
On Breitbart.
It was on InfoWars. Is that cool?
The least Breitbart of the world.
Yeah.
Listen, let's not get into that.
It's got to be hard to keep up. To have to keep up, you know, because it's sad to look at sometimes.
Yeah,
but it's,
you can't kind of.
It seems
out,
to have slowed down a little bit the news cycle, which almost is scary in and of itself. Because you're like, am I just getting numb?
Are people getting used to it?
Yeah, which is kind of a bummer. So, you know, but
do you have like a regiment where you read like all these papers and magazines every day?
I try to read the failing New York Times.
Okay.
It's a shame about them. I hope they hold
true.
Yeah,
I know, right, yeah. And Twitter, I mean, a lot of like just links on Twitter.
Gotcha.
People, yeah, but, so.
I'd like to personally thank you for absolving me and Jonah for not deleting our Uber apps on our phones.
Oh.
I heard in an interview that you talking about the fact that you find all these people to be moderately disgusting at some point. Peter Thiel was an investor in Lyft.
It's just, I mean, other people have made this
and I'm
point,
like, oh, but
it's
just sick. Very, now I really don't have to delete it.
It's difficult to keep up with everything you're supposed to.
So what was the point you made that just essentially all of these companies have something you could find reprehensible?
Yeah, I mean, like, you're going to use a different app on your iPhone that was made God knows where by God knows who. And I mean, look, I don't mean to like criticize. If people want to delete Uber, they should.
Off their iPhone that was made by someone in a place that had a suicide net.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But is the end to this line of thinking just nihilism? Where it's like, it's all fucked, whatever.
Yeah. Right. No, that is a weird thing where it's
there's your
band name. Yeah. It's all fucked, whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
They're playing on the second stage.
All right.
All right.
Thank you so much to Matt Goldich for coming by. You can check him out on Twitter at Matt Goldich.
Goldich.
Check him out. Watch Late Night with Seth Meyers. You might see him pop up there. I'm sure you'll hear some of his writing and check out his stand up. I know he just recorded a new special at The Stand. Great club. Have you been there, Brad?
I have not.
It's great. And he's a co-host of the podcast, Sorry I've Been So Busy, so check out that. If you want to support this podcast, you can go on our website, donate. You can also donate via Venmo at Off Track. The money will go to Brad Worrell. He owes a bunch of money to this Nigerian king, and so that money will go to support that. And also, Brad says it will somehow help our server costs. I don't really know what a server is. That's the thing that holds all the podcasts?
It's the person that brings you drinks.
Let me ask you a question. Is a server, is it like a mainframe? Like, where is it?
So
is it in a cloud or
one of the reasons that we pay the big bucks is because server is essentially a hard drive, right? Because you have to have files hosted somewhere, whether it's like your freaking email. So the podcast files that people are listening to, I could put them on a server in my house. But
the millions of people that download this podcast,
if they all tried to download them at once, it would choke. So we use a service, Rackspace. I don't know why I'm going to hype them, but they scatter literally throughout the world. So they have these hard drives that are scattered all over the world and with copies of our podcast on them.
Okay, I see.
So that like no matter where you are, you're not very far from the actual like drive that has it on them.
I see.
So, which is, you know, if you used a big commercial company, a hosting company, if they only had like one location, everybody would be trying to suck the files from that one location.
I see. Yeah. So here's the deal. Servers cost money. Rackspace isn't doing this for free.
No, they're not.
It's not a nonprofit. They're not tax exempt. And so if you want to support this podcast, please donate. Or you can advertise. If you have a cool band that has shows coming up, let us know.
Yeah.
Do we know about any bands like that? We do.
Where are we going this weekend?
This weekend, we are going to go see Sam Am. We've been talking about this for months. It's finally here. It's finally summer. June 9th, Garwood, New Jersey, Crossroads, Ticketsville, Ticketfly. We're not going to go to that. June 10th, I think we're going to go see them headline. Yes, headline. The Neshaminy Creek Brewery Company's 5-year anniversary party with a free show June 10th, Croydon, PA. It's free. Me and Brad are going to be there, getting drunk, singing along to all the Sam Am hits. She Found You, Capsized, Sunshine. So many great songs. And they're also going to be in Europe in July. If you're out in Europe, check out their Facebook page for all the dates at Sam Am Fancy. I can't wait to enjoy a cool Neshaminy Creek Brewery beer as I watch Sergi play guitar.
We better get some free beer. We're not getting...
I just like saying. I just like saying Neshaminy Creek. Hey, Neshaminy Creek. If you want to send us some free beer, we will drink it on air and we'll talk about it some more.
Yeah.
But if you want to advertise with us seriously, please. I'm very easy to find. My name is Jonah. My email's out there. Brad's at Soundwag. If you have something cool that makes sense for the podcast, we would love to help promote it. You know, it does not have to be, you know, just, I'm just putting it out there because of the server thing. That's what I'm saying.
Server.
So yeah, thanks Stephen Grawalski and Pulse Music. Thank you so much to Matt Goldich. Thanks everyone for coming by. We have some really, really amazing podcasts coming out later this month. Some really big names in comedy and music. So definitely subscribe to iTunes and make sure you get all of these podcasts on Wednesday when they come out. And we'll be back next week with a pretty exciting one, I believe. So till then, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.